श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं परमानन्दमाधवम्। ॐ वाङ् मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविरावीर्म एधि वेदस्य महानिस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीहि अनेनाधीतेन अहोरात्रान् संदधामि हृदं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्माम् अवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् अवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्तिः शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीकृष्णगोविन्द हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेवा जिह्वे पिबस्वामृतमेतदेव गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति। हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। नारायण। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू विश ऑल द लिसनर्स a very very happy and a celebrative Chaitra Navaratra 2024. My prayers to Mother Shakti to bless us all or shower us all with her divine and blissful grace and blessings. Supreme Consciousness Bhagwan Krishna, from the verse 47 and 48, in the verse 47 and 48, explained us as the term called Karma Yoga, how Bhagwan defines the word called Karma Yoga and what he expects us, the mankind, to follow in life so that while going through the actions, we are also able to contribute towards uplifting ourselves and also growing on the vertical path. So that's exactly what Bhagwan tried to explain in the verse 47 and 48. 47 and 48 is basically the definition of Karma Yoga. In the verse 49, which we saw in the last and last to last session, Bhagwan is trying to praise Karma Yoga by comparing in the action done with the attitude of Karma Yoga. Remember, again, I'll underline the good actions done with the attitude of Karma Yoga vis-a-vis the good actions done without the attitude of Karma Yoga, or good actions done normally, which I say. And one thing which I highlighted in the last session also, in the last session also, I'm highlighting it again so that we don't miss this out. Remember, the comparison is never between evil deed and good deed. That's not the comparison at all. The comparison is between good deed done normally, meaning without the attitude of Karma Yoga or without the knowledge of Karma Yoga, and the good deed done with the attitude of Karma Yoga. Bhagwan is saying that the good action done without the attitude of Karma Yoga is far lower. Fadure nahi avaram, he said that. It's far lower than that. And versus the action, good deed done with the attitude of Karma Yoga, it's far, far higher than and all other actions, so to say. Before I move back into the verse 50, where we left the last session, I would like to highlight a few things from the last session. The reason I'm highlighting it so that we don't miss this out at all. A few points we all need to remember, because I tried to explain in a little bit in the last session. And I'll take it up a little bit more so that, you know, it's very clear for us to move on. The first thing which I picked up in the last session was, Bhagwan also mentions this in the third chapter, third verse. Lokesmin dvividha nishtha pura prokta mayanaga jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. Bhagwan is making it very, very clear. There are only two paths, so to say. There are not many paths, there are not many roads at all. Explaining that, I picked up one example to illustrate this whole thing, that there are two roads there. One is named Swami Vivekananda Marg and another one is named Swami Ramakrishna Marg. Now, don't consider that Swami Vivekananda Marg and Swami Ramakrishna Marg are two parallel paths. That's not what it is. Now, Swami Vivekananda Marg goes, you know, travels up to a particular distance, certain kilometers. Swami Vivekananda Marg goes up to a certain kilometer, and after that it joins into Swami Ramakrishna Marg. So the same road, Swami Vivekananda Marg, after a few kilometers becomes Swami Ramakrishna Marg. It's not two parallel path at all. It's the same path. Actually, ultimately, Karma Yoga is being taught to us. Bhagwan is elaborating Karma Yoga. Why? So that we prepare our internal equipment, our antakarana, to grasp the knowledge of Sankhya, which is the ultimate goal, ultimate path, which is going to lead us to the ultimate goal, which is realization. So technically, Karma Yoga is parampara praptam, as in that it is a paramparious, it's like a process or a way to actually lead us to the Sankhya Yoga. Ultimately, Sankhya is only going to be relieving us from, or making us realize this whole creation and all those things, and making us free from our birth and death. So that's the one thing in which I really wanted to highlight again. Remember, everybody's start point can be many. There can be many start points because everyone's evolution cycle is different. Everyone is coming from a different evolution cycle. Wherever you have left, you will start from there. Starting points can be many. But there are not many paths, or there are not few paths at all. That's very, very clear. And I gave the example of the discussion and debate between in Goenka ji and Maharashtri, Swami Akhandanand ji also about that. Gita ji's his final conclusion is not that there are many paths. That's not what Gita ji is trying to tell us at all. That's not what Bhagwan is trying to tell us at all. Bhagwan is saying ultimately Sankhya is where everybody has to reach. That is why when Bhagwan started the discussion on the topic to resolve Arjun's vishad, he started to expound upon Sankhya Yoga first. When he saw that Arjun has not understood that portion, that is what when Bhagwan started to elaborate upon Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga is the preparatory step which is going to lead us into वो सांख्य योग एंड आई आई गिव दैट फ्रॉम भगवान शंकराचार्य जी भाष्य इन द वर्स 49 यत एवं योग विषयायाम बुद्धौ तत परिपाक जायाम वा सांख्य बुद्धौ शरणम अल्टीमेटली व्हेन भगवान सेज इन द 49th वर्स बुद्धौ शरणम अन्विच भगवान इज सेइंग टेक रेफ्यूज इन द अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ कर्म योगा बिकॉज दैट सेम कर्म योगा इज गोइंग टू लीड यू इनटू सांख्य योगा अल्टीमेटली यू हैव टू गो एंड टेक रेफ्यूज इन सांख्य योगा ओनली इन द सांख्य बुद्धि ओनली इन द अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ सेल्फ ओनली Sankhya means the understanding of self, the knowledge of self. Karma Yoga means the art of action, Bhagavan is talking about. How we should you know, lead our life if so that our action becomes a devotion and that devotion itself leads us to Sankhya Yoga, which is the knowledge of self and it makes us realize that self. That is exactly what Bhagavan is trying to tell in the verse 49. And another example, another thing which I picked up, which I'm highlighting here also, and I gave the example of, you know, Param Pujya Swami Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji. People sometimes misunderstand, not that Swami Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji has said that, that's not what I'm saying. But they saw Pujya Swami Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji immersed in bhakti, so they thought that bhakti means, you know, that internal action, which is I told you antarang sadhana, where you are immersed in the bliss of bhajan and you know kirtan and all those things, singing the glory of Lord or you know remembering Lord or you know chanting and doing puja for Lord. People think that that's a different thing altogether, and I told you very you know explaining in the last session that bhakti is not different. Bhakti is also karma, and I picked up three paths which we usually talk about, or very popularly known as, we call it that there are different paths as to hold, to reach the self. And I picked up what? One path is Karma Yoga, which Bhagavan is explaining. Another one which we popularly use is Bhakti Yoga, and we consider that Bhakti Yoga is different than Karma Yoga. And then another one is Ashtanga Yoga. And I told you, I brought out certain reasons why I'm highlighting that portion. Whether you call it Bhakti Yoga, whether you call it Karma Yoga, whether you call it Ashtanga Yoga, all three are karma only. And in Vedas, they are covered under the head called Karma Mimamsa, which we call it Purva Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa covers both Karma Kand and Upasana Kand. Upasana means bhakti, devotion, right? So devotion or bhakti is also karma. Then Ashtanga Yoga, which is the yoga path, with Chitta Shuddhi and other things which we do using yoga, asan, pranayama and all those things which is explained in Patanjali Yoga Sutra and all, those are also process. They are a methodology to actually purify your mind, but ultimately you have to come to Sankhya only. You have to come to the actual knowledge of self only. They are all preparatory steps. They are all karma. And the reason why I brought it up like that was, the difference is Bhakti Yoga, so to say, is basically an antarang sadhana, an internal action. And when we say karma, it's a bahirang portion, bahirang sadhana. Means it's an external action. One you can say externally, one you can see externally, and one you don't see externally. And externally, when somebody is doing bhakti, devotion, and the example I gave you of Maharaj Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji also, when you see them, you don't see any physical action there. Their bhakti is internal action, internal kriya, antarang kriya. It's an antarang kriya, and normal action is a bahirang kriya. So when we see antarang kriya and we don't see any external action going on, we consider that's a different path altogether, and that becomes bhakti. And that is what now ISKCON and other people are following. When we say, and I give the example, when you say bhakti is bhakti only when you sing the Lord, chant the name of the Lord, do puja, you do worship and all. And if somebody is doing farming, no, that's karma. And if somebody is doing, somebody is fighting in the war, that's ghor karma. No, that's not what is there. Remember one thing, the basic core, at the core of both of them is what? Karma Yoga also, Bhagavan is saying the same thing. Do your action as a devotion to God. And what are you doing in bhakti? Bhakti also, you're doing the same thing. You're doing internal action as a devotion to God. Both these things, the common factor is devotion to God. That's why Karma Yoga is also Bhakti. Bhakti Yoga is also Bhakti. And I can say, you know, vice versa also. Karma Yoga is also Bhakti and Bhakti Yoga is also Karma Yoga. Because ultimately at the core of both of them, at the substratum of both of them is actually developing love and devotion for God. God is the center in both of things. Bhakti also means devotion also and Karma Yoga also. So Karma Yoga is also Bhakti. Now I'll give you another example. And I picked it up in the last session also. For example, somebody is doing in Bhakti, but remembrance for God is not there. Just think, mechanically somebody is doing Japa, mechanically somebody is doing Puja, but devotion is not there. And versus, you know, compared to that, somebody is doing action with remembering God. Who is better? The one who is doing action, remembering God. The one who is so-called doing Bhakti, but not remembering God. What use is that at action then? And the reason why I brought it up in that same umbrella to classify these three things as karma is that, remember, karma is temporary. So the results which come from karma will also be temporary. That to bring out the temporary nature of the results coming out of that is why I brought out and reclassified according to what Bhagwan is telling in the chapter 3, verse 3, that there are only two paths. Karma Yoga is Bhakti Yoga is also Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is also Bhakti Yoga. Then why Bhagwan has a separate chapter altogether? Bhagwan is trying to explain how all we can do Bhakti in the Bhakti Yoga chapter. What are the aspects of Bhakti? How we develop in devotion? How we enjoin ourselves in devotion is what Bhagwan is explaining in the 12th chapter. So when we say yoga, you will see this yoga word will come many places. Every yoga doesn't define that they are completely different path. And I give you one more verse. I quoted one more verse from 12th chapter itself. 9th verse where Bhagwan said, Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi mai sthiram abhyasa yogena tataha mam iccha aptum dhananjaya. And I quoted that verse in the last session also. In this 49th verse also, Bhagwan is saying what? Buddhau sharanam anu iccha. Anu iccha because of sandhi rule becomes anvicha, by the way, in Sanskrit. So Bhagwan here is also talking about iccha. There is also talking about iccha. In the 12th chapter, Bhagwan is saying that, you know, and now why I picked up that example is, there Bhagwan uses one word called abhyasa yogena. Now, don't consider that abhyasa yoga is a completely new path altogether. Yoga means there join yourself with a constant practice. Abhyasa, practice. Yoga, join yourself with constant practice. Because it is said that, you know, practice only makes one perfect, right? So, constant practice is what Bhagwan is asking you one to do in that verse, in the chapter 12, verse 9. Where Bhagwan says, Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi. If one person is not able to focus, concentrate, or, you know, become single-pointed in the thought of Bhagwan, Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi mai sthiram. In Bhagwan, if somebody is not able to firmly place oneself's concentration, focus, and not able to become single-pointed in Bhagwan, then abhyasa yogena tataha, then for that person, what that person should do is that with constant practice, mam iccha, mam aptum iccha, at least develop the desire to gain me. At least develop the desire to achieve me. At least keep me at the goal. And here Bhagwan is saying what? With devotion, continue to do karma yoga. Take refuge in that intellect which is filled with the knowledge of karma yoga. Buddhau sharanam anvicha. And then he said, and after that, those people who are not doing action this way, who are falahetavaha, for whom Bhagwan said in the 47th verse, ma karma falahetuhu, Bhagwan says, those people are kripanaha. So, this much I wanted to just explain from the last session before I move on into the, verse 50 where we left in the last one. One more thing I picked up in the last session is kripanaha falahetavaha. Bhagwan says those people are miser, they are poor, they are pitiful, who are doing action merely for desire fulfillment. Phala hetavah. And I gave you Kripana's many, many definition, and in the last session itself, one was picked up from Upanishad itself, and Kripana, and I told you, Arjun also said that same thing, Karpanya Doshu Apahata Subhava. Bhagwan, I am, you know, overpowered by this Swabhava, this nature of Kripanata. You know, Bhagwan, please help me come over this. So Kripana, there also I explained, and Bhagwan also picked up as an example there. So Upanishad says, I told you Upanishad says it very directly, and I picked up from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad what Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has quoted it in his Bhashya. Yova etad aksharam aviditva asman lokat praiti sa kripanah. That person who leaves this world without making an effort, without knowing the self, aksharam, the imperishable, non-destructible, indestructible self, that person who leaves this world without making an effort or without knowing that imperishable, indestructible self, aksharam, not charam, aksharam, the one which never perishes, the one which never destroys, which never gets destroyed, that's called aksharam. That person who leaves this world without making an effort and without knowing that imperishable, indestructible self, hey Gargi, that person is actually, according to Upanishad, Kripanaha. That person is poor. And I gave you the question which Upanishad asks. A person is born ignorant, he dies ignorant, will be born ignorant again. We don't know what that person is going to do in the next life also. So the achievement is actually, if while living in this life, we are able to know or make an effort to know that imperishable, indestructible self, that person will not be called Kripana, and that person is actually the one who is going to be actually contributing towards the vertical growth of that person, actually working towards the vertical growth. And I told you, human life is the only life where that is possible also. And when I was telling you in the different paths example, I told you Upanishad also quotes in many places. Our Vedas also quote, Na anyav pantha vidyate ayanaya. There are no two different paths to go at that place at all. There is only one path, and everybody has to reach that path itself. That's why Bhagwan tells Arjun, now look forward for this thing. He Dhananjaya, Tvam Buddhau Sharanam Anvicha. You work towards taking refuge in the understanding and knowledge of Karma Yoga and making an effort to lead your life, do your actions with that attitude of Karma Yoga, because that will take you to Sankhya Yoga, that will take you to the knowledge of self, which is finally going to liberate you forever. That's what I wanted to just highlight before I move back into the verse 50 where we left in the last session. Let's read the verse first. Then I'll read the Bhashya of Bhagwan Shankaracharya, and then we'll take the meaning. In the last session, I gave you the literal meaning. Today, we'll see that verse in detail. Bhagwan says in verse 50, Buddhi yukto jahatiha ubhe sukruta duskrute. Tasmat yogaya yujyasva yogah karmasu kaushalam buddhi yukto jahatiha ubhe sukruta duskrute tasmat yogaya yujyasva yogah karmasu kaushalam. Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji in his Bhashya says, Buddhi yuktah samatva vishaya buddhya yuktah buddhi yukto jahati parityajati iha asmin loke ubhe sukrita duskrite punya pape sattva shuddhi jnana prapti dwarena yatah tasmat samatva buddhi yogaya yujyasva ghatasva yogo hi karma sukaushalam स्वधर्माखीषु कर्मसु वर्तमानस्य या सिद्ध्य सिद्ध्यो समत्व बुद्धिः ईश्वरार्पित चेतस्तया तत्कौशलं कुशल भावः तद्हि कौशलं यद् बंधस्वभावानि अपि कर्माणि समत्व बुद्ध्या स्वभावात् निवर्तन्ते तस्मात् समत्व बुद्धि युक्तो भवत्वम्। वेरी ब्यूटिफुल भाष्य ऑल्सो ऑन दिस एंड अ वेरी ब्यूटिफुल वर्ड्स एंड वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट वर्ड्स यू नो फॉर दोज पीपल हु आर सीकर्स एंड हु आर स्टूडेंट्स ऑफ भगवद गीता आई मस्ट से वी मस्ट हाईलाइट दिस पर्टिकुलर वर्ड्स दिस द नेक्स्ट थ्री फोर वर्सेस एट लीस्ट नेक्स्ट फोर वर्सेस आई वुड से because very important topic Bhagwan is picking up here and he is trying to explain what this yoga is going to give as a result. As a praise of karma yoga, Bhagwan is giving in the verse here. Bhagwan says, buddhi yuktaha, and I explained elaborately in the last verse also, when Bhagwan uses the word only buddhi, remember since the topic here, prevalent topic here is karma yoga, we must take this as karma yoga buddhi. So when Bhagwan says buddhi yuktaha, Bhagwan means karma buddhi yuktaha. The one who is equipped with the knowledge of karma yoga, the one who is possessed with the knowledge of karma yoga. Now don't take the word possessed in a derogatory meaning at all. There are possessed words used in very differently also, and I'm not meaning by that. The one who is equipped, one who is contained with the knowledge of karma yoga, one whose intellect has this knowledge and understanding of karma yoga, Bhagwan says that person jahati, that person crosses over. Now the question we may ask, Bhagwan, what do that person cross over? Where do that person and cross over? Bhagwan says iha, while living here itself this person crosses over. Bhagwan, and this person while living here, this person doesn't have to, you know, it is not that he crosses over at the end of his life. That's not what Bhagwan is saying here. Bhagwan says, while living here in this world, jivan neva jahati, while living here in this world itself, this person crosses over. Iha, that's the reason why Bhagwan used this word iha, in this world, while living here itself. What does this person cross over? Ubhe, these two. What are these two now? What this person crosses over? Bhagwan very beautifully words there, puts the word there. Sukrata Dushkrate. He crosses over. Sukrata Dushkrate means Bhagwan Shankaracharya has also taken that example. Punya Pape. He crosses over both Punya and you know both merit and sin. Punya and Pap. Both of them. Now the question which may, you know, sprout in our mind is that all of us definitely wants to cross over our sin, right? All of us wants that, you know, the result of sin should not come to us. All the dushkrita, all the erroneous deeds which we have done probably past life and this life also, it should not come to us. All of us wants to escape the result of dushkrita. Dushkrita means papa here. The evil deeds is so to say. Now see, I told you, in the previous verse, Bhagwan is comparing between in Sukrita only. He's not where he has to bring up Dushkrita, he'll bring up Dushkrita separately only. Wherever he is bringing only action, there it is talking about Sukrita only. Here Bhagwan is bringing up this person and who is equipped with the, who is contained, whose intellect is contained with the knowledge of Karma Yoga, who follows Karma Yoga in his life. Arjun, this person crosses over both these things, Sukrita and Dushkrita. Now just look back at your life. Actually, all the situations which come in our life are basically coming out of these two only. Our good deeds and our evil deeds, Sukrita and Dushkrita. And how do they translate it, you know, afterwards, after the action is done? Punya and Papa. And I, in the last session and the previous couple of sessions also, I told you many times about the power of Punya. Remember, power of Punya is something which you cannot understand. It is very, very powerful. Now, let me just come to this verse here. Bhagwan is saying, Ubhe, this person is going to cross over both these things, Sukrita and Dushkrita. Bhagwan, I definitely want to cross over Dushkrita. Now, why do you want me to leave the Punya also? Why? Bhagwan, why do you want me to leave Punya? Now remember one thing. When, how do the Punya and Papa translate? Sukrita Dushkrita is basically talking about Kartritva. That those things which are done with the doership in mind. That I am the doer. Okay? That is called Sukrita and Dushkrita. Sukrita is also has doership, Dushkrita also has doership. You know, after doing evil deed, people may say, I didn't do it and all those things. Doesn't work like that. But you, when you did it for yourself, no? Even some bad deed is done for what? Fulfilling my somebody's desire only, huh? So that is definitely done with doership. So when we say Sukrita, Dushkrita, Punya, Papa, it's talking about Kartritva. When it translates into result, it translates into Sukha and Dukha, happiness and sorrow. That's where Bhoktritva comes. Sukrita and Dushkrita is Kartritva. Punya and Papa is Kartritva. It's something which we have done. We have to do it. Right? And as I explained to you while explaining Punya also, the result of Punya is Sukha. All the happiness we experience in life is basically coming out of our Punya only. And all the sorrow which we experience in life is coming from our Dushkrita only, our Papa only, our sin only. So when Bhagwan says Sukrita Dushkrita, but there Bhagwan is tackling the Kartritva, which is the doership. So when this person crosses over, or Bhagwan says, now remember, when he crosses over Sukrita Dushkrita means he crosses over his Punya and Papa both. He crosses over both his merit and sin. Now, Bhagwan says, Arjun, while living here itself, you have a methodology, you have a process by which you can give up all the past life's action, good or bad, and their corresponding results here itself. Tasmat, that's why Arjun, Yogaya Yujyasva, enjoin yourself or join yourself or take up the practice of Karma Yoga, Yujyasva, join yourself, Yogaya, Karma Yogaya, Yujyasva. Arjun, that's why take up Karma Yoga in your life, take up or lead your life with the attitude of Karma Yoga, which is what Bhagwan explained in the 49th verse as Buddhau Sharanam Anvicha. And when I explained to you Anvicha, Anu Iccha, Iccha means desire, Anu means constant. Not that I will do once probably in a month or, you know, once in a year. Bhagwan is not talking about that. When you are equipped with the knowledge of Karma Yoga means all your actions as a devotion, all your actions as a surrender unto God, then your focus is on the happiness of God, not on the result. Remember, when I'm using this word, I want to underline and say, probably I'll pick it up in the next verse, in the 51st verse when I'll talk about, I'll elaborate it there. You understand it this way right now. Bhagwan says, Tasmat, that's why Arjun, Yogaya Yujyasva, go and enjoin yourself with yoga. Take up the practice of Karma Yoga. Why? Bhagwan then explains in the last quarter of this verse, and this is declaration of Bhagwan. Arjun, that is the only art of action. Yogaha Karmasu Kaushalam. That is the only way to become perfect in your action. That is the only way for perfection in your action. See, but how beautifully Bhagwan is, you know, pointing us to the whole thing. That Arjun, if you enjoin yourself with Karma Yoga, trust me, your action will become perfect and you would have learned the art of action. Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam. Now, couple of things before I move on in detail onto this particular verse and also pick up Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya for explanation. This Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam is understood very wrongly also in the outside world, in the current world today. People say that, you know, Remember, when what Bhagwan, the topic Bhagwan has picked up is, Bhagwan has given the definition of yoga in the verse 48 already. Karma yoga, Bhagwan has already given the definition in the verse 48. Where Bhagwan said what? Samatvam yoga ucchate. He called this equanimity of mind at the level of what? Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva. I said that in the third quarter of that verse 48. So Bhagwan says, at the time of success and failure, one person who has carved out his intellect, his mind in such a way that this person remains equanimous, doesn't get perturbed, doesn't get disturbed in the times of failure, doesn't get excited too much in the time of success, that person has done actually yoga. And that kind of equanimity Bhagwan has already defined as yoga in the 48th verse. Now when Bhagwan says yoga karmasu kaushalam, some people take this mistaken definition that perfection in action is actually yoga. I'm sorry, that definition is wrong. When you define this verse that way, that perfection is in action is actually yoga, karma yoga, then you are making a very big gross error there. What is the error you are making? Then everybody, even if people do bad action or evil action with perfection, you will call them karma yogi. There's a very big error you are doing there. A thief is so perfect in the work of stealing what he is doing that he goes into a house, barges into a house, he steals everything from every room except the room where the owners are sleeping. Do you call that a thief a karma yogi? A terrorist does his action with perfection of destroying or whatever that intention was. You can't call that it's yoga, right? Bad action cannot fall into that thing. So karma su kaushalam is yoga. Don't take that definition at all. Rather, Bhagwan is saying, if you do yoga, your action is definitely going to be perfect because you have learned the art of action. Now tell me something, with devotion to God, how can you do duskrita? Tell me. Can you do evil deed with devotion to God? You can't. So Bhagwan brings out here very clearly, Arjun, remember one thing, buddhi yuktaha jahati iha, jivan neva jahati, the person who is equipped with this intellect and knowledge of karma yoga crosses over here itself while living, doesn't have to wait for his end time, doesn't have to wait for the end of his life. That is why I said in the beginning also, realization, when we say there are many levels of realization is not something that which happens at the time of death. Realization happens while you are living. If you get liberated while living, after death also you will not get bound. A person, if he is liberated himself while living, is liberated forever. But the liberation process has to happen while you are living, because knowledge is gained here in this loka. And that is why I told you, manushya janma, the human life, is a very, very precious life. Alas, it's so sad that people are wasting this life on endeavors and things which are nonsensical in nature, which is definitely going to drag them down vertically. Many people are doing actions which are not even going to take them vertically, forget about taking them vertically up, but they are going to take them vertically down also, and they are doing actions which are taking them horizontally also down. Just see the kind of negativity which is going around. If you see, I told you many examples before also, that you see the newspaper, you see the television, God knows people are going in which direction. The problem is the cultural education is missing from between schools and colleges. That's where the problem happens. People are doing action for the sake of action. Action cannot be done for the sake of action. Action cannot be done with only desire in mind. Action cannot be only for desire fulfillment. And even after desire fulfillment, I want to ask this question. How many desires of yours have been fulfilled? Do you really feel fulfilled even today? One desire is fulfilled, we jump onto the another one. and one is fulfilled, then that one is fulfilled, jump into another. There is no end to desires. Then that means there is no end of becoming fulfilled ever in life. This is why Bhagavan says, Arjun, tasma, that's why yogaya yujyasva. Go and enjoin yourself to karma yoga. And you know, once you join into karma yoga, then you just understand that you have learned the art of perfection, you have learned the art of action. Your action will automatically start to show perfection. You know, one thing I'll tell you, perfection, you know, this word called perfectionist, this word is very popular in the common world. Many people, you know, boast about this fact also that I'm a perfectionist. Perfectionist means what? They think that, you know, I'm a perfectionist, and they expect others also to do action according to how they are doing it. And they'll start pinpointing, this is wrong, that is wrong, and they will not even give credit for the work also. That's not what perfection is all about. One says, Arjun, tasmat yogaya yujyasva. Go and enjoin yourself in the attitude and the knowledge of karma yoga. Trust me, that is exactly what is going to give, or, you know, teach you the art. That is exactly what is the art of action, and your action will automatically start to become perfect. I'll tell you one very important thing about this devotion to God being in the picture. The moment you get devoted to God, His divine grace starts to fall on you. And once His divine grace starts to fall on you, that divine grace starts to reflect from you. When it starts to reflect from you, it also starts to reflect from your action as well. It also starts to reflect from your attitude in the society. It also starts to reflect in your nature of how you deal with people and surroundings. That is what Bhagavan is talking as art of action. Now, since Bhagavan is saying here, I must, you know, take you back to the Sankhya discussion which Bhagavan did from verse 11 up to 38 also. And I'm bringing out because wherever Bhagavan brings up, I'll you know, show you and connect you that thing the way our gurus have taught me, or my guru has taught me. I'll connect you the same thing so that you know where is being, what is being spoken where, and what is the purpose of that. Now you see here, in this verse 50, after verse 39 onwards, since Bhagavan has taken up the topic of Karma Yoga, Bhagavan is teaching Arjun how to do Karma Yoga, what is Karma Yoga, and wants him to adapt the working style of Karma Yoga. That's why Bhagavan is using the word here, Tasmat Yogaya Yujyasva. Here Bhagavan is instructing Arjun. Arjun, that's why I tell you, enjoin yourself. Take up the action with the attitude of Karma Yoga. Enjoin yourself with the, you know, attitude of Karma Yoga. Now just think of this thing. In the verses from 11 to 38, when Bhagavan was talking about Sankhya, Bhagavan never used the word yogaya yujyasva. Bhagavan used the word what? Tasmat yudhyasva Bharata. Arjun, get up and fight. Tasmad uttishtha kaunteya yuddhaya krita nischaya. You must think, I'm only, you know, what do you call, just exciting you and giving you that spark to actually think over it. Why did not Bhagavan use the word tasmat yogaya yujyasva there when he was talking about Sankhya Yoga from verse 11 to 38? And why is he picking up that here, and vice versa? There Bhagavan was telling Arjun to get up and fight. Tasmat yudhyasva Bharata. Tasmat uttishtha kaunteya yuddhaya krita nischaya. Why is not Bhagavan telling Arjun here, or tasmat ad yuddhaya yudhyasva? Bhagavan is not saying that here. Right? Now that is where it should spark some thought in us. There, remember, the person who is following Sankhya Yoga, that person who is established in Sankhya Yoga, does not need to come back to Karma Yoga at all. Because remember what I told you, Karma Yoga is the process, is the path which prepares you, makes you capable to gain Sankhya Yoga. Prepares your intellect to grasp Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga means the knowledge of self. So that's exactly what Karma Yoga is supposed to do. But the person who has already reached Sankhya Yoga, has already gone through this path, has prepared himself or herself, prepared that person to gain the knowledge of the self and slowly, gradually established in the self, for that person doing Karma Yoga or enjoying to Karma Yoga is not important. What that person will do, that person will act according to the presented situation, according to the available situation, as per his available and prepared nature. Prapt paristhiti mein, prapt sanskaron ke hisab se vartan karega. Vartan karega means that person will only act in the given situation or in the received situation, in the situation which have been presented in front of that person, as per the nature and habit cultivated, as per the nature cultivated due before the knowledge, that person will act according to that in there, because this person does not have to do anything to improve him. His life, his or her life is only, he is spending the time, because till the prarabdh is here, till this prarabdha is, this body is here according to the prarabdha, this person has to act, because acting is the doing action is compulsory for everyone. All of us have to act. So this person will act according to his available nature, according to the in the presented situation. That's all that is required from a jnani. That's all that is required from a Sankhya Yogi. That's all that is required from a person who has established himself in the self, who has gained the knowledge of the self, who has realized the self. But for a person who has not reached that level, or for seekers, which I use the word for seekers, for yogis, I divided these two terms in the last session also, there is Sankhya Yogi and there is Karma Yogi. So Sankhya Yogi is jnani basically, who is the one who has realized the self, the one who has attained the self, the one who has known the self is called jnani. The other one is called yogi, which is called Karma Yogi. Now remember, Karma Yogi has to join in that himself or herself with Karma Yoga. Why? Because that person has to improve, has to gain, has to gain the capability to know the knowledge of, or to grasp the knowledge of self. So for this seeker, Karma Yoga is his sadhana. Whereas for the jnani, no more sadhana is left. Why? Because that jnani in any state, all the three states, which is waking, dream and deep sleep, is perfectly established in self. That is what is called realization. Jivaneva. While living here itself, that's why realization is while living here itself. The one who is realized while living only realize, doesn't come back after body falls here. And I gave you many examples in the previous episodes also. And as when Bhagwan moves on into explaining Sthita Prajna, we will pick that up at that time also. But here just remember this thing. Bhagwan is telling Arjun, you have to gain the capability. You have to, gain the capability, you have to gain the courage, you have to gain the alertness. And that's exactly is your sadhana. So, to maintain Karma Yoga, the knowledge of Karma Yoga, to maintain the knowledge and retain the knowledge of Karma Yoga, person needs to, have power. That person should have gained some power to maintain that, to retain that. There is a need for courage to retain and maintain that. there is a need to be alert also. Have gained, should have alertness. And these three things of, you know, gaining the power, gaining the courage, and the alertness is what is actually sadhana for a seeker. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. If, hey Arjun, if there is something called an art of action, there is something called a perfection in action, that is actually karma yoga only. And that's exactly what I want you to do, Arjun. So Bhagavan says, for remember, for a person who has gained Sankhya Yoga, who's gained the knowledge of self, there is no more improvement left. That person has already achieved whatever could be achieved in this creation. Whatever it could be achieved in all lives put together, that person has already achieved. When you have achieved whatever needs to be achieved, why do you need to improve? Where is the need for an improvement? Where is the need to do more? Where is the need to gain something? When you have already gained whatever could be gained in this creation, there is no more effort left to do anything. That person is free forever. And that's exactly what is freedom. Freedom from life and freedom from action. So remember one thing, that don't translate this yoga karmasu kaushalam as, you know, that a perfectionist is doing actually karma yoga. Don't translate that. Then, you know, those who made the twin towers fall, will you call them yogi? I'm sorry, you will never. They use the resources of the country and, you know, created devastation in the same country itself. You can't call them yogi. They did everything in correctly in terms of, you know, planning their action with their intent. They fulfilled that intent. You can't call them yogis. You can't call those people doing duskrita as yogis, those evil deeds as yogis. Those people may be, you know, planning out the action of terror and all those things, but sorry, they can never fall into this bracket. Even if they are doing their intended things perfectly also, you can't call them yogi. They can never reach that perspective at all. You know, I will not, or you know, you will touch that portion. Now let me just pick up Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya. You see how beautifully Bhagwan Shankaracharya says. There is one beauty I want to bring out in Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya. See, whatever Bhagwan uses as definition, Bhagwan Shankaracharya will not let you lose sight to it. You see what he says. Buddhi yukta says samatva vishaya buddhya yukta. But what Bhagwan is using is translating the, you know, words used by Bhagwan in the verse. He says what Bhagwan is using as buddhi yukta here, it means is that person who is already gained the capability, who is already equipped with a intellect. What kind of an intellect? Samatva vishaya. That intellect which is having the equanimity in place in terms of success and failure at the level of objects, at the level of situation, at the level of things, at the level of action. Buddhi yuktaha. That's how who Bhagwan Shankaracharya defines here. Then he says, buddhi yuktaha jahati parityajati. Buddhi yukta crosses over, means gives up in parityajati, gives up forever. Now, where does that person, and what does that person give up? First, Bhagwan Shankaracharya answers the portion, where does that person gives up? This person who is a buddhi yukta, the one who has acquired the knowledge of karma yoga, who is living a life with the attitude of karma yoga, this person, iha is transmitted as asmin loke, in this world itself, means while living here. While living here in this loka, in this world, this person gives up. Jahati parityajati, gives up. Ube sukrita duskrite punya pape. Bhagavan Shankaracharya is translated it sukrita duskrite, as I told you. Punya and papa. When I was explaining you just few minutes before, also summarizing the last words, when we said that, you know, even bhakti is karma, ashtang yoga is karma, and karma yoga is also karma, you must understand one thing. Whatever is done, and I explained you there also, I'm explaining you again here. Whatever is done with doership in mind, everything falls as karma. The moment the doership falls, remember, the doership falls, then even the enjoyership or bhoktritva will also fall. This kartritva, bhoktritva goes hand in hand to each other. You can't say that I will drop the kartritva, but I will continue to keep the bhoktritva. No, that don't happen. Some people says that, you know, I will keep the bhoktritva, but I will drop the kartritva. Sorry, it's not like that. Kartritva, bhoktritva comes together, goes together. If you have done action with doership, trust me and mark my words for it, you will have to bear the fruit or result of that action and as part of your bhoktritva. If kartritva is dropped, bhoktritva will also be dropped. Why Bhagavan is saying ma karma phala hetu bhu? Don't, you know, become overtly attached or overtly focused on the fruit of action. The kartritva has to be dropped first. While doing the action, you have to drop the bhoktritva. At the level of bhoktritva, you can't drop it. If at the level of action, you drop bhoktritva, trust me, kartritva is also dropped. If you are doing action for result, as a result of pleasing God, or for the result of pleasing God, then your doership is also not there, because action is done for God, result also belongs to Him, action also belongs to Him. I am what? I explained to you many times in the previous sessions also. Means what? It's actually nothing but that, you know, when action is itself given up, when the bhoktritva is given up, when the attitude of me wanting the result is given up, that means the action also doesn't belong to me. The result belongs to Bhagwan, the action also belongs to Bhagwan. I am only a humble servant at His lotus feet, only trying to please God with my action. All my endeavors, meri sari cheshtayen, Prabhu ki prasannata ke liye. All my endeavors are only for the happiness of God, and in return, what do I want? I only want that I should be more closer to God, I should feel more closer to Him, I should be able to feel Him around me, I should be able to realize Him around me. And slowly, gradually, we'll have to practice this from the waking state, and from waking state only, you know, from the impressions of waking state only, dream state comes. And then, you know, once we establish this thought in the waking state, slowly, gradually, in the deep sleep and dream state also, this state remains. That is why when we call Jivan Mukta, which Bhagwan will call Sthita Prajna, in the coming verses 55 onwards, when Bhagwan will explain, Arjuna will probably ask in 54, or Sthita Prajnasya ka bhasha, when he comes there, Bhagwan calls him Sthita Prajna, we call him Jnani, we call him Realized Master, we call him Jivan Mukta Purush. Jivan Mukta Purush means the person who is free from birth and death. So, Bhagwan says, Ube Sukrita Dushkrite Punya Pape. I have explained you that already. This person, while living in this world itself, crosses over or gives up both these. Ube means both these. Sukrita Dushkrita, Bhagwan Shankaracharya is translated as Punya Papa, means both good deeds and bad deeds, means both merit and sin gives us, he gives up. When Bhagwan Shankaracharya says, Sattva Shuddhi Jnana Prapti Dwarena Yataha, this becomes the gateway, for Sattva Shuddhi Jnana Prapti, means to gain Sattva Shuddhi. Sattva Shuddhi means to gain Sattva, or to make your internal equipment, which is Man Buddhi Chitta Nanka, your mind, your intellect, your memory and ego, Sattva Shuddhi, to make your Antakarana filled with Sattva, because Sattva is a must to grasp knowledge. Okay, so Bhagavan says Sattva Shuddhi Jnana Prapti Dwarena, and that becomes the gateway for jnana prapti, for gaining the knowledge of self. Tasmat, that's why. Samatva buddhi yogaya yujyasva ghatasva. Arjun, make it happen, ghatasva. Make it happen, what? Samatva buddhi yogaya yujyasva. Arjun, that's why. Develop an intellect filled with the attitude of karma yoga. Karma yoga means develop an attitude filled with the attitude of equanimity at the level of result. How? By becoming ma karma phala hetuhu. By becoming what? Samo bhutva. And by moving away from being phala hetavaha. So Bhagavan says, samatva buddhi yogaya yujyasva ghatasva. Then Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says, yogo hi karmasu kaushalam. This karma yoga itself is the art of action, is the art of perfection. Now I told you, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji will never leave this word, you know, swadharma ever, because paradharma is not even in the discussion. Since Bhagavan is not saying in elaborately, you know, explicitly in his words, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji is explaining us in that way. He says, swadharma kheshu karmasu vartamanasya ya siddhya siddhyo samatva buddhihi. Doing your own respective duty, depending upon your stature, your achievement, your level in the society, your family, doing your respective duty, swadharma kheshu karmasu vartamanasya, whatever duties have come to you, whatever duties have been presented in front of you, whatever duties have joined you, come to you that way, yeah, siddhya siddhyo, and the results which are coming out from those duties being fulfilled by you, samatva buddhi, maintaining an equanimous intellect and mind. And see how beautifully Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji highlights here, Ishwararpita chetastaya, with the intellect and, you know, mind developed in such a way, Ishwararpita, as a devotion to God, even those actions which are your respective duties, they are done and well, they are fulfilled without the desire for result, as a devotion unto God, Ishwara Arpita Chetastaya, as an intellect developed in such a way that these perfect understanding developed in such a way, with a clear knowledge, with a clear understanding in your memory and in intellect, that these actions are being done only as a devotion unto God. Tat kaushalam kushala bhava. Doing that well is actually what is called kaushalam, is called perfection. Tad hi kaushalam yat bandha swabhavani api karmani samatva buddhya swabhavat nivartante. Very beautiful line again. I told you in one of the sessions before, it's the nature of karma, is the swabhava of karma that all actions binds. And I've told you, I'm taking that explanation here in Bhagavan, when Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji is talking about it. Bhagavan says, tadhi kaushalam, why is it called an art of action? Yat bandha swabhavani api. Even though bandha swabhavani api karmani, even though it is the natural attitude of an action, it is the natural result of an action, that action by nature binds. All action by nature binds. He says, bandha swabhavani api karmani, even though this is the nature of an action, and that it has the nature of binding whosoever does the action, samatva buddhya swabhavat nivartante, with the attitude of a developed intellect of equanimity at the level of result, and with Ishwararpita chetastaya, an intellect developed of that, you know, all actions are being done as a devotion to God, with that kind of an intellect, whatever is done, this natural nature of the action also, even though it is the natural nature of the action to who bind, bandha swabhavani api karmani, even though action is naturally bound to do like that it binds everyone who does the action. Samatva buddhya swabhava, with the attitude and knowledge of karma yoga, with the attitude of, you know, the knowledge of equanimity or maintaining equanimity at the level of result, and Ishwar Arpita Chetasya, this natural nature of the action also nivartante, is also resolved, is also overturned, is also solved. Nivartante is also resolved forever. Tasmat samatva buddhi yukto bhavatvam. That's why Arjun, Bhagwan is giving a clarion call to you. That's why develop your mind in such a way, develop your intellect in such a way that you have gained this knowledge of karma yoga, which is what? Samatva buddhi yukta. Equip your mind and, you know, possess the knowledge of this equanimity at the time of result, doing your action as a devotion to God. That is what Bhagwan is wanting us all to do while doing karma yoga. One thing I want to just say, when we explain, our Pujya Guruji Swami Subodhananda used to explain very beautifully, which I must bring out to explain you this particular term. Pujya Guruji Swami Subodhananda used to say beautifully that the nature of action is like a sarpa, a snake. It has got, a snake means a poisonous snake I'm talking about. So that's the nature of action, that every action will inflict you with its poison. It's going to hiss on you, it's going to, you know, bite you with its snake and spread some poison in you. Now, for a karma yogi, the same snake, it's the nature of a poisonous snake, that, you know, the moment it sees you, it will, you know, charge on you, it will inflict you with its poison, and which will cause you harm. Now see, just think, by doing karma yoga, we are actually, you know, the same poisonous snake is like its bag of poison and the poisonous teeth are removed. The same poisonous snake becomes something to look and enjoy also. I'm just giving you an example which Pujya Guruji Swami Sodhan used to bring it very beautifully. That sarpa, that snake, from whom the poisonous nature or the bag of poison and the poisonous teeth are removed, is the one which is the ornament in the neck of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's ornament is that snake. That action, which technically or which in the natural phenomenon has the nature to bind all of us or the doers of action. Just think, if that nature is removed or the poison is removed, the same action becomes our ornament. And that's what Lord Shiva, his idol, represents to us. Lord Shiva is Adi Guru. Adi Guru means Brahma Vidya is Ma Parvati. Now remember, we are already in Navratra and already wished you for Navratra. Whenever we see, you know, Mother Parvati, Mother Amba Bhavani, or Mother Durga, she is Sakshat Brahma Vidya Swarupini. Brahma Vidya is what Devi is. Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Vidya Rupena Samstita Namastasye 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 Namo Nama. Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Buddhi Rupena Samstita Namastasye 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 Namo Nama. Where is the form there when you say Buddhi Rupena? Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Shakti Rupena Samstita. Where is the form there? Mother Parvati or Ma Durga is Sakshat Brahma Vidya Swarupini. And that is why she is wedded to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Adi Guru. Where is there a time when a Guru can ever be separated from Brahma Vidya? That's why Mother Parvati is always with Lord Shiva. And that action, you know, see, when our Devi and Devtas, our Ishwara, are portrayed. Look at their form clearly. And there is a Trishul which is kept. Trishul means it's got three pointers. It is kept there what? As part of alertness. No object should actually come and disturb me. No object should have the ability to disturb me from the level where I am. No object should have the capability to disturb me from where I have established myself. No object in this world, no situation in this world should ever have the power to actually shake me from the intellectual situation where I am established in God, from where I am established in God. Nothing should be able to separate me from my God. Nothing should be able to separate me from the thought process of God, from the remembrance of God. Today, the remembrance of God takes a second seat in most of us, actually takes a very, very back seat in most of us. Objects just take the front seat. Actually, objects take all the seats for many of us. That's what we need to improve. That is why Bhagavan is saying, Buddhi Yukto Jahati Iha. The same snake which the bag of poison is removed and the poisonous teeth is removed, becomes the bed of Lord Vishnu, becomes the shayya of Lord Vishnu. When we say Lord Vishnu, Bhagavan Vishnu is Bhagavan Narayana, is lying down on the bed of snake. What kind of a bed it will be? I don't think any bed in this world can ever compare. So soft, so warm, it doesn't even become hot in the summer season, doesn't even become cold in the winter season. What kind of a bed it is? That karma itself becomes our bed. Bed means where we rest. That is what is the shayya of Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayana. That's exactly what Bhagavan is trying to tell us from this verse when he says, Buddhi Yukto Jahati Iha. Living here, Jivan Neva Jahati. We all have the ability to come to that level. Arjun, that's why whether you are doing Sankhya Yoga, whether you are doing Bhakti, whether you are doing Sankhya means the external yoga, physical yoga, whether you are doing yoga, I'm talking about, whether Asana, Pranayama and all those things, when you are doing that, it says Ashtanga Yoga, not Sankhya Yoga, sorry. Even if you are doing Ashtanga Yoga, or you are doing Bhakti Yoga, or you are doing Karma Yoga, establish yourself in Karma Yoga. All three needs to be done with a devotion to God, so that it uplifts you, it frees you from the poisonous nature of the action, and it frees you from the nature of that action which actually binds everyone. I may take a lot of time to explain this to you, but I'm not doing that right now. What I want you to do is that take it back and think over it, how action binds. Okay, you can take any action in your own life and try to think over it. Have you become free after the action, or has it really bound you? I can give many examples, but I would want you to do some bit of thinking on that first, and then we will take it up in the next session and a little bit further detail of this one. Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmana va prakrite svabhavat karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayanaeti samarpayami Sriman Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shantihi Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha. Harihi Om Om Tat Sat.